How many of you know what U.S. Code S-526 is? Anybody? Well, I didn't either till this week. Let me tell you what it is. It's a code that the Secretary of Defense can authorize 310 generals, okay, above the 231 generals that are already authorized, which leaves a total of 541 generals. And the reason I'm making this statement is because I got two of them confused last week. Out of 500-something generals, I got two confused. So that the number of you called me, let me know personally that I confused two generals. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate that. I really do. That lets me know that you're paying attention to what's going on, that you're not sitting back there sleeping. So every one of you all that called my hand on getting these two generals confused, thank you. I really do appreciate that. I will straighten that out. General Flynn is the one that resigned as National Security Advisor. I got he and General Mathis, who's Secretary of Defense. I got them mixed up last week. I don't know why I did, but I did. I can claim over 75 as an excuse. But anyway, so I just wanted to make that announcement that those two generals I confused out of 541 of them. So y'all forgive me in my old age. Now, you may catch me in some other things. And if you do, please let me know. You don't hurt my feelings when you do that. Let me tell you something. I appreciate that. I really do. And I've told y'all all the years, if you find something that I said wrong, you will not hurt my feelings. Tell me, okay, and I'll straighten out. So anyway, I've made my confession this morning. Okay? Huh? No, but I make a confession to the other person now, and that's, I make my confessions to Jesus Christ. I don't go in the little box, you know. So anyway, I still make my confessions every day. At the end of a day, when I assess my life, I've always found something that I need to confess before I go to sleep. In case I don't wake up, I want to leave here with a clean slate. All right, turning your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 60. Chapter 60 is really a very, very unique chapter in the entire Bible. It really brings out what God is going to do with Israel. Now, I know we've read a lot of chapters and a lot of things that God says he's going to do to Israel. But this whole chapter basically is concerned with after the tribulation period. Now, this is what Isaiah is talking about. After the tribulation and what God is going to do with the nation of Israel. The close relationship that he has with this one nation on the face of this earth that he has with no other nation. Not one. Not even the United States of America. We love America. We're Americans. Most of us were born here. We've served in the military, you know. And this is our country. And I love my country. But God doesn't have a special relationship with America like he does Israel. He does have a use for America, or we wouldn't be here today. But chapter 60 brings this out in such a way that really the United Nations should be made to have to listen to the entire chapter of Isaiah of 60 to find out who really is going to be in the leadership in the coming future. I know they think they are, and they think this one's going to be that, and so forth. But it's not going to be. It's not going to be any of the nations except Israel. And every week I'm reading more and more anti-Semitism is going on in this country. And it's terrible. It's a shame. But it is happening. Our universities are making different areas, telling Jews to leave. We don't want you here. Companies are divesting their interest in Israel and their business enterprises. It's terrible what is going on in our country. I was talking to somebody this week. They were saying, well, you know, maybe people will begin to learn more about Israel. I don't think so. According to this Bible, they're going to learn less. Rob. Yeah. Fortunately, as Rob says, we've got a president that's very pro-Israel, and he put an ambassador into the UN last week, and she was the governor of South Carolina, I believe, and she dressed the whole UN down. I mean, she didn't back up and waste any words about what they were doing to the nation of Israel, and I commend her for that. We need to pray for her. She's got some courage. I like her. Okay, chapter 60. Let's see what Isaiah's got to say about the future of Israel. He says here to arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, he's saying this about Israel in the future coming days. Again, he's really talking about after the tribulation period, when Christ comes back and sets up the millennial reign on this earth. Bennett and I were talking this week about how many people really, really understand about the millennial reign of Christ. Very few. The largest majority of Christians have no clue that Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years and that Israel is going to be the leading nation of the world. Jerusalem is going to be the world capital. Very few Christians really understand that. Percentage-wise, very, very small. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness. It doesn't mean it's just going to be dark. It's going to be dark, dark, really bad. Gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He's talking about the end of the tribulation period. Remember, 3/4 of the world's population is going to die in the tribulation period. So there's only going to be 1/4 of the people left. I think there's like 6 billion people on the earth now. So 3/4 of them are going to die in the tribulation period, if that's many when the tribulation starts. And that's hard to fathom. I mean, we think about something that happens today and 100 people get killed or 100 people die in a monsoon or whatever. That's a big deal. It's going to be nothing compared to the tribulation period. Bennett.
The tribulation period is going to be so tremendously horrible. At this time, the people know the tribulation is over, that all the plagues and everything is over.
Are they going to know? Only the ones that are going to pick up a Bible during that time and read, because it gives the exact number of days the tribulation is going to last. Now, they'll know if they want to pick up a Bible and read Revelation. And there will be some that will do that. But that's the only ones that will. The rest of the world won't know.
But isn't there more people saved during the tribulation period than all of them?
Well, number-wise, Rob, we're not given. What we are told is that there will be an innumerable number that will be saved through the tribulation period. But they're going to die during the tribulation, and most of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are going to die, because it's talked about them being at the throne of God, you know, and asking him, how long are you going to wait, you know, to get rid of these evil people, the Antichrist and his rulership on the earth? And they say, just be patient, because there's more of you coming. And be witnessing. Yeah. It's going to be the 144,000 witnessing during the tribulation period. There'll be a lot of people saved. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Notice, God says, I'm going to shine a light on you, Israel. You're going to be the beacon of the world. And the Gentiles are going to come to your light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, there's still going to be people here. There's going to be people that make it through the tribulation period. And this is what God is saying. After all that happens and all these billions that are going to die, then there's going to be the people that are left. And when God starts showing Israel up as being the leading nation and Jerusalem the leading capital, then all what's left on this earth alive is going to start paying attention. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed by thy side. He is saying if there are any other Jewish people scattered on the earth at the end of the tribulation period, they're going to be coming back to Israel. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted to thee. Forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. God says you're going to be the focal point. Everything that's happening on the earth at that time is going to be localized to the nation of Israel. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. I'm going to try to pronounce this word, dromedaries. That is a special camel that has one hump. Okay, there are camels that have two humps. There is a breed of camels that have one hump. And that's what this one is. This multitude here, these one-hump camels of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. So some of these people are going to be left. They're going to be paying homage to Israel. They're going to be bringing gold and incense, just as they did many times before, like in the days of Solomon. It's going to be like that. All the nations of the world are going to pay homage to Israel. Let's go on. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebanoth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Notice, God, the temple is going to be rebuilt, and God's going to be there. And these people of the world are going to be coming paying homage to him. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Some Bible teachers reference this to aircraft, to airplanes bringing people back into back into Israel. That's a possibility. Here's the way I take it, that they will do whatever they have to do, the Jews, to return back to Israel, whatever means it is. Now, our Jews returning today. There is a man that's a good friend of mine that I don't even know how many plane loads of people he paid to the Jews to come out of Russia to go back to Israel out of his own pocket. And, you know, this is what's going to happen. But this is the end of the tribulation period, and whatever Jews are left, they're going to get there one way or another, however they have to. Any questions?
Simply
Jews only? They're talking about the Jews now returning back to their land. Yeah. God's going to consolidate all the rest of the Jewish people back into Israel during the millennial reign.
So that's every Jew?
Every Jew. Yep. They'll take them all out. Anybody else? Any questions? Okay. Remember, these are God's people. They're his earthly people. And he wants them back in their land to worship him and to be a beacon for the rest of the world. Now, this is what they were supposed to have done in the past, and they didn't. This is why they're in the condition they're in today. But he says, I'm still going to bring you back. Anybody? Ron? Yeah, well, the only ones that are going to probably get through the tribulation aren't going to be the saved Jews. God's going to clean the slate of the Jews just like he is the Gentiles.
You know.
Yeah. That's right. They're his people, and they're going to carry his banner during the millennial reign. I mean, they're going to be the leading nation, the leading capital, and they are going to carry his banner for the rest of the world to take a good look. Verse 9, surely the isle shall wait for me. Anytime you see this isles, it means the far-off lands from Israel. And the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Notice, when they come back, they're going to bring all the wealth of the world with them. Remember when they left Egypt? And they left with all the wealth of Egypt was piled on them. Pharaoh said, take it, get out of here. Wagon loads of gold and silver and every precious thing that they could carry. Said, just take it and get out of here. Well, this is kind of similar to that at the end of the tribulation period when, like you say, the Jews, God's drawing them back to the land. They're going to bring all this wealth with them. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. God says, yeah. People are going to say, well, hey, look what God did to you in the past. Boy, he slapped you around pretty bad, and he did. And he really is still today. But God says, that's okay. That's in the past. Now I'm going to have mercy on you, and I'm going to bring you back and put you where you should be, where you should have been all along, but due to your rebellion, I had to purge you. And that's what he's going to do. There's going to be a purging of the Israelites that don't believe in him. Verse 11. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. God says, now after I rebuild Jerusalem and I'm there, the city gates are not going to be closed. They're going to be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces, or the strength would be a better translation of that word, the strength of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Now, God says Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt. I'm going to leave the gates open, and the Gentiles are going to be coming there. The leaders of the Gentile nations, presidents, kings, or whatever they have during this millennial reign that are set up, they're going to be coming in, and they're coming to worship me and to honor me and to bring all kinds of wealth to honor me. You know, the world today makes fun of Jesus Christ. They don't consider him anything, worth anything. Most of the world doesn't. They make mockery of him. Right now in this country today, you know, we have areas in this country that are saying you can't mention his name. You can't get up in public and say a prayer and mention Jesus Christ. I mean, this goes on and on and on. In our council meetings, a lot of cities today, they don't allow a prayer in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. But guess what? The whole world's going to pay him homage one of these days, whether they like it or not. Verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted or destroyed. If you mark your Bibles, you need to mark this verse right here, because God issues a warning after saying all these blessings now are open. But if you won't serve him, guess what? You're going to be utterly destroyed. There are going to be many nations during that time that exist today that don't exist then. They're going to be wiped out. They've gone against him in every possible way they could. A lot of them are doing it today, and they're going to pay for it. God is not going to let them get away with that.
During the millennial reign?
During the millennial reign. This is during the millennial reign. So a lot of these nations that you see today raising their fist up at God won't be around. I don't know about the United States. You know, I don't know where we're going to be. It's going to depend on what we're going to do. He rules on the throne from Jerusalem in the millennial reign. That's right. Verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. the fir tree, pine tree, the box, that's a box tree, together, to beauty, the place of my sanctuary. If you remember when Solomon built the temple, he used the great forest woods of Lebanon to build that temple. And God is saying, guess what? The new temple is going to have all of these forests again. It's going to be a place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. God says, where I'm going to be, there's going to be glory. It's going to be in Jerusalem. The temple is going to be rebuilt. Verse 14 is another verse that should be highlighted if you highlight your Bible verses. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. Now, a lot of them that afflicted Israel are going to realize what they've done wrong, and they're going to come, it says, on bended knee. They're going to pay homage in Israel to Christ. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. In other words, they're going to be on their knees at the feet of the Jewish nation and of Christ, their leader. That's what's going to come in the future. Bennett. He'll be back. The question is this: will Christ rule and reign as he was on the earth in flesh and blood, or as a heavenly being? He's going to be the combination. He's going to have the resurrected body, so he will be flesh and blood, but in the spirit form, powered by the Spirit. Okay. Yeah. That's right. As he ascended, that's the way he's going to come back, as Don says. You know, it's like the angel told the apostles, as you've seen him go, so he's going to come back. And he ascended in a body that they could eat with, touch, talk to, but he also was powered by the Spirit. So he's not limited to the physical limitations that we are today. That's the way he'll come back. Yeah, the earth will be revamped during that time as well. So he's going to come back. He won't be just man. He's going to have the power of God on that throne. Nobody's going to buck him. Nobody's going to get smart with him or try to overrule him, because if they do, they will be struck down.
Well, until they let Satan out.
Huh? Until they let Satan out. At that time, Satan is confined to the abyss for 1,000 years. So there won't be any of this going around trying to cause people to sin from Satan and his emissaries. They're going to fall down at the soles of thy feet. They shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. I don't think you can get much better of a title than that. He's the Lord. It's the city of the Lord. You know, today the big argument is still going on in the news. I don't know how much any of you pay attention to the news every week, but the big argument is still going on about Jerusalem. You know, the Palestinians are saying you better not make it the capital of Israel. They're warning the United States you better not move your embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And on and on and on. And the big deal now, the UN is discussing, is to take East Jerusalem and make it the capital city of the new Palestinian state. That's the big deal that's going today. They want to divide Jerusalem. God says, hey, it's not for yours to divide. It's my city, and he's going to make it well known in the future. Any questions? All right. Who's got one? Yes. The question is it going to be repopulation? Yes, there will be. During the millennial reign, there are going to be flesh and blood people here, and they're going to be repopulating the earth. That will be part of it.
So
Yes. The flesh and blood people on this earth that make it through the tribulation period will be repopulating the earth. They will be repopulating the earth for the whole millennial reign of time. And things are going to be a lot better. Disease is going to be done away with. The earth is going to be returned to its original form. So there's going to be a great population occur during the millennial reign of Christ for the 1,000 years. The question is, what about the end of the millennial reign, the 1,000 years? Satan is turned loose. Okay, he is. God turns him loose. And a lot of people wonder why he does that. I mean, here for 1,000 years, you got perfect bliss. There's nobody gets a few, only a few will. It does say that. But they're struck down immediately. God does not allow any rebellion. He makes this place perfect. There's a few that step out of line, but they are immediately put down. Why does God let Satan go again? That's a big question, and it's been argued for ever since Revelation was written. I'm going to tell you the reason why. During the millennial reign, the 1,000 years, and all the people that are born and grow up have to give him service, whether they like it or not. What happens is that there's a lot of people during that time that don't like his rulership. They don't like the way he's running things. So guess what? When they're given a chance, and this is what God always does, he always allows man the opportunity to show openly how he really feels. That's what your free will agency is all about. And people are still going to have that. And there's going to be a lot of people that hate his rulership. As perfect as it is, as great as it is and wonderful, they don't like it. They want something else going. It's just like today. I mean, people are people. Take today, for instance. Take America. Look at what a great country we have got and all the blessings we have got. And what have we got? Thousands of people out here rioting in the streets, wanting to overthrow our government, destroy our way of life here, and they've got it made compared to other people in the world. But they want to do that. And this is the same way. People during the millennium, there are going to be a lot of them who don't like Christ's rulership, even though they see him in his majesty and power and glory and what he's done to the earth. They don't like it. They want something else. So they're going to rebel.
Will man during that time of being born still have the sinful nature of Adam?
Well, evidently they will, because Satan will be able to use that against them. At the end of the millennium, when they rebel, you know, but they won't be able to exercise it because God's not going to allow it. Yeah. Yeah. What about Rob's issue? Is this? What about after the millennium? Isaiah 66. We'll get into this when we get to Isaiah 66. But yeah, there'll be flesh and blood people even after the millennium, and I'll get more into that when we get into Isaiah 66. But will they still have an old nature? We're not told what kind of nature they're going to have after that point. We're not told. But I'll get more into detail when we get to Isaiah 66, into that, into the future kingdom of God, and more, a little bit more about that then. Okay?
People are living for hundreds of years.
Well,
after that, during the millennial reign, they
live for hundreds of years just like they did again. Well, yeah, it says in Isaiah that a child will still be a child at 100 years of age. During the millennial reign. How would you women like to change diapers for 100 years? You know, I know that sounds silly, but when I first read that, I thought about that. I thought, we've had five children. I've changed lots of diapers. And that's the one thing that hit me. It's kind of funny, but you know, I thought, golly, you mean somebody's going to have to change diapers for 100 years? But that's what it says. So anyway, just be thankful, ladies, y'all have had yours, and you don't have to worry about that for the future. But it's going to be totally different during that time. That's all I know. We don't know all the details. We don't want to be great. But at the end of it, again, there are going to be people, just like today. You could give them the best of everything. You can just lavish everything on. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to turn right around and rebel. We see it every day in this country. Some of you see it in your families. You've raised children. You've given them the best of everything that you could give them, knowledge, wisdom, example, money, cars, whatever. And guess what? They still turn around and rebel. That's just part of human nature. I hate to say it, but it is true. And many of you out there know what I'm talking about. Anybody else? This is good. These are good questions. Teddy. Well,
that's a lot of why that was going to make lists. I couldn't figure it out for years. Then I heard that they're going to make births during that time.
Yeah.
And then I hear that these children have to make a decision.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about the children never reach the age of accountability, right? What happens to them? Well, yeah, during the millennial reign. Everybody, again, will have to make a choice. Once you reach the age of accountability, you have to make a choice. And that comes at different ages in different people's lives. Again, to get into minor details of individuals who don't ever reach that age of accountability, what happens to them? You know, I think I can't answer that question emphatically or dogmatically because the Scripture just doesn't say it, doesn't address that. Here's what I say about that issue, and I've been asked that question 1,000 times at least. What happens to those children that don't reach the age of accountability? Yeah, I think God in His mercy takes care of that. I put it this way. He's a just God. He doesn't do anything wrong, make any wrong decisions. So He takes care of that is my way of thinking on that. That's the only thing I can say. Scripture is not definitive upon that issue. And that's been argued for hundreds and hundreds of years and will be argued after my time. But once you reach age of accountability, you know, then you have to make a decision. When you're faced with a decision, in my life it was 25 years old. Some of y'all made decisions when you were little children, and that's great. I was 25 when I really one day was faced with a decision of, am I going to believe what this Bible says about Christ, or am I going to continue to reject it and go through man's doctrine? I had to make a choice. It was 25 years old for me. And I remember the day distinctively, and I can remember the two issues. I had to make a choice, one way or the other. So I made my choice. This is why I'm here today. But again, it's different with different people. And the ones that don't reach the so-called age of accountability, God will take care of that. He's God. He won't make mistakes. I do know that, and I rest on that. Anybody else? Yeah. Well, you know, many minor details God doesn't answer in Scripture, and men want to know these things, and that's great to have an inquisitive mind. But years ago, after many years of Bible study, I began to realize that God didn't tell us everything we wanted to know. So what I had to do is quit worrying about those things, and I just move on to what He has told us, and let me get that down solid in my life, so because that's what He wants me to know. Now, the things He didn't tell me that I don't know, I've got a long question sheet of when I get there. Lord, I'll take a little bit of time with me, because these are things I wanted to know, I never knew. You didn't tell me, but I'm here now. So I'd like some answers. And I think everybody feels that way. Well, there's one thing about it. You take what you know here with you. You know, that's one good thing about it. You know, people talk about storing up things for heaven. Well, your rewards are there. And I look at knowledge. I look at knowledge. We only have such a small amount of knowledge of the whole encompassing truth of God down here. We just know so little. And I have a quest for knowledge. My mother was an invalid, and I had to sit up with her usually all night, sleep when I could. But she was she taught me one thing. She made a statement to me when I was a small child. She said, all the knowledge of the world is in books. So what I would do at night sitting up with her, I would read hours and hours and hours. By the time I was in high school, I had read a library full of books. And she instilled that into me. So what knowledge you have when you leave this earth, to me, you take that with you. God's going to let you have that, and then He's going to build on that from that point on. That's just my way of thinking, and I do believe that. You know, so what you gain down here in knowledge, you'll take with you. And I think my understanding of Scripture is there'll be no end of your learning. That throughout all eternity that you will continue, God will continue to reveal more and more and more about Him and His creation. I don't think you'll ever stop learning. I look forward to that. Yeah. Like Don said, it's going to be like Christmas every day up there. I mean, you're going to learn something and find out something new every day. It's going to be a marvelous time. All right, I'm going to have to stop for time's sake there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this day, and just thank You for this study that we have. Thank You for revealing such deep things to us, which then, Lord, in turn, helps us to generate more questions and wanting to know deeper things, which some of it You've not revealed to us yet. But let us rest, Lord, upon what You have given us, learn it, and then one day You will continue to enlighten our lives and our minds as we live throughout the universe with You. Lord, bless everybody here. Thank You for each and every one. I thank You for all the questions. Lord, just guide us this week and help us to show somebody that we meet this week a better way of life. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and call me if you need me.